Well, as you may have heard, you know, as the good book says, God made many poor people. And things like, doesn't it say somewhere that beauty is as beauty does? Have you heard those sorts of things? Anybody watch Fiddler on the Roof? My favorite part is when he says to the rabbi, as the good book says, oh, you know what the good book says. Or, I heard, I went to visit the men's group that I was part of was it last Saturday? Wow, that seems a long time ago. And they were listening to a tape, a CD by a guy who was talking about dying and standing before the judgment seat and going on and on and on about the things that he saw there. And after it was over, one of the guys said, what do you think about that? I was trying to be diplomatic, but I was thinking of Jeremiah 23, I'll look at verse 25 and then 28 and 29. Jeremiah 23, verse 25, and then verses 28 and 29. And God said to Jeremiah, I have heard what the prophets say who prophesy lies in my name. They say, I had a dream. I had a dream. And then he goes on with that. But he says in verse 28, let the prophet who has a dream tell his dream. But let the one who has my word speak it faithfully. For what has straw to do with the grain, declares the Lord? Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks rock to pieces? We have the choice as we learn ministry, as we learn the Christian life, as we learn to share Christ with others, to tell our own thoughts, our own philosophies, our own dreams, as this fellow did, at that last Saturday. Or we have the infallible Word of God. Now, how did God compare the two to Jeremiah? He said, he says in verse 28, what has straw, or another word for that is chaff, to do with the grain? What do they do with chaff? What's that? It blows away. Yeah, because there's no food value in it. What is their value in? The grain. Or, in his comparison, in the word. This is the 75th anniversary of the NAV ministry. Have you heard that yet? It's been around. Yeah, we've been. Those of us have been around a little while. Yeah, have. I met the Navigators about 40 years ago. Actually, in 1967, I was a young member in the Air Force. I was sent to Germany. I worked in intelligence, and I was a young believer. And on the plane, on the way to Germany, Satan started whispering to me, nobody in all of Europe knows that you're a Christian. Nobody cares how you live your life here in Germany. It doesn't matter. I just kind of had that temptation. How am I going to live my life in a place where nobody knows me? I don't know any other Christians. And so I spent the first week that I was in Germany trying to figure that out. I went out with some of the folks from the office, and they were showing me a part of life, and I just watched. After I'd been there about a week, I went to check in with the chaplain, and he shared the bridge with me. I thought, and I said I was a believer. So he said, great. That night he sent five guys that lived in the barracks around me to my room, knocked on the door. All of a sudden, I knew, from not knowing any believers, I knew five that lived all around me. And they had a real joy about their Christian life. They were young and growing, and he was discipling them, and he began to disciple me. And I found out that as Chaplain Bill Fulton had been a chaplain for several years as a non-Christian. He grew up in a liberal denomination. And at one of the bases, the senior chaplain assigned him to oversee the NAV ministry. Now, the NAV guys were scared to death of him because they knew he wasn't a believer. But the senior chaplain wanted some of what they had to rub off on him. And after about 8 months, he was led to Christ by one of the navigators. And he was discipled. And then he began discipling people for the rest of his military career. And I am one of the ones that he discipled. Well, one of the hardest things that I worked on in that discipling process was scripture memory. I spent a couple of years trying to learn the topical memory system. Now, it had 108 verses then, so it's kind of shrunk a little bit to make it a little easier to handle, and I see Mike has handed out topical memory systems everywhere. But it took me a little while to decide that, yes, I really did want to get to work at learning that. Lauren Sanney, the second president of the Navigators, at about the 60th birthday of the Navigators, brought together a group of people called the Senior Staff. And I guess I'm one of those now. We've never been to that kind of meeting. But you just hang around long enough and you get to be one. Paul Drake is my example on that. You know, I met Paul Drake in 1974 when he was a retired Marine, and he was one tough fellow. He was very challenging. I mean, the only guy that was tougher than him was Don Arvin, who was the guy that recruited me to the Navigators. And they really, my wife was scared to death of both of them. And we were newlyweds. And then over the years, God has so softened Paul Drake that he is one of the most tender people I know. He is nothing like that Marine that I knew in 1974. And if you get around him, you know, he is such a neat fellow and just been changed by God. Now, you know, nothing wrong with what Paul was. He was used of God, but again, God just tenderized him. On the 60th anniversary, as I started to talk about, Lauren Sanney had this group of senior staff, and in that group were many of the people that were in the beginnings of the Navigators. You know, when I first met the Navigators in 1967, the international work of the Navigators had less than 100 staff. How many we have now, Dave?
Well, 2,000.
Yeah, I think it's like over 3,500. Yeah, but
4,000 total worldwide.
Yeah, 4,000 total worldwide navigators in about 108 to 110 countries. Yeah. So. Yeah. Yes. Anyway, he asked that group of people, what was it that attracted you to the Navigators? And over 80% said scripture memory. Now, it wasn't that they were talking about they were attracted to the hard work of getting verses down so that you can say them, as we say, word perfectly, with references before and after. That wasn't what attracted them. What attracted them was people who were able to say, this is what the Bible says. You know, remember Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount when he talked about, you have heard that it was said, but I say to you? At the end of that message, in the end of Matthew chapter 7, it says, the people were amazed at him because he spoke as one having authority and not as the scribes. The Bible gives you authority because it is the Word of God. Deuteronomy chapter 32, 46 and 47. I'll start at 45. Deuteronomy is the fifth book in the beginning there. And it says, then Moses finished reciting all these words to all Israel. When Moses, he said to them, take to heart all the words that I have solemnly declared to you this day, so that you may command your children to obey carefully all the words of this law. They are not just idle words for you. They are your life. By them you will live long in the land which you're crossing the Jordan to possess. We just had a devotional. You know, I ran off of that this morning. Our department does one every morning and pray together. And so Zeddy was sharing a little bit about that. And we were talking about the fact that Paul in the New Testament talks about the law and the futility of being saved through the law. And in the process, we've got this idea that we don't live under the law. You know, we're not legalistic. And so somewhere in our thinking of that, we tend to take that whole Old Testament law and say it no longer has real validity for us. We now are Christians, we live in Christ, we have grace, we have freedom. And yes, we have grace and freedom and truth in Christ, but there's a little bit of a danger in that. Moses said, take to heart all this law. They are not just idle words for you, they are your life. I studied Deuteronomy about 4 years ago. And it really revolutionized my idea of the law. I found that I had my understanding of the law primarily from Paul's reaction to it as a Pharisee. Because Pharisees thought that you gain salvation by law keeping. And that was never the intent of the law. It says that in Deuteronomy. Salvation has always been by grace through faith. I had the privilege of being in Israel a month ago. I was there with a group about 6 weeks ago, I guess, from March 25th to about the 3rd of April. We were in Turkey a few days. So anyway, our guide was explaining, she was a Christian Jew, she was explaining that after the Romans knocked the temple down and knocked down, you know, took over Jerusalem and destroyed it, many of the Sadducees, who had been in charge of the temple in Jerusalem, moved up to Galilee. And over the second and third century, they sorted out how the Jewish religion was going to operate without the temple, without sacrifices, without being able to have an animal be killed to deal with your sins. And what they did was just take that thing that the Pharisees had done a little further. And if you read Romans 10 and 11, Paul talks about it, you know, that they stumbled over the stumbling stone because they took that which was meant to be by grace and they made a law out of it. But what they did was changed a faith-based religion to a works-based religion. You know, that's what the Jews did in that time. And it's real easy to either go that direction or to go the direction and say, the law doesn't count anymore. We were reading in Psalms, and we will in a little bit, in Psalms 119. And what does Paul say about the law there? What does the writer of Psalm 119 say about the law? Excuse me. In Psalm 119. Is it something that he struggles over?
No, something he delights in.
Something he delights in. Why does he delight in the law? Because they're good. In Deuteronomy, it says over 100 times one of three phrases. If we keep the law, what God gave the law for was that so you prosper. so that things go well for you and so that you live under God's blessing. That was what the law was given for. And included in the law was the sacrificial system, which pointed to Christ, which says, I know you're not going to live up to this. This is the way by which you are atoned for when you fail. And how are we atoned for now when we fail? Through the blood of Jesus. Someone got 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2? 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, sorry. 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. This was free, it's not in my notes. But
my dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world.
Okay, isn't that good stuff? John says, I'm writing this for what? So that you don't sin. But if you do sin, we have one who speaks to the Father on our behalf, or however your translation puts it, Jesus Christ, the righteous one, and he is the atoning sacrifices, not a sacrifice not just for our sin, but for the sins of the whole world. Well, what's all this got to do with scripture memory? Back to your page. You know, why memorize scripture? 2 Timothy 2:15. Who's got that one? And if you can quote it, that's go for it. Yeah, except you missed a phrase. I think it's, what, say, so you show yourself approved unto God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed. Yeah, and then, yeah, rightly dividing the word of truth, yeah. But anyway, sorry. But one who accurately handles the word of truth. That's what Paul told Timothy. You got to handle the word accurately. How do you do that? Don, a couple of days ago, talked about Matthew chapter 4, 1 through 11. And in Matthew 4, 1 through 11, what's the scene? What's going on? Jesus was tempted, yeah, by Satan. How did Jesus deal with those temptations? He quoted Scripture. He quoted Scripture to whom? Satan. But he also quoted it to whom? Himself. Yeah, you're familiar, aren't you, with Psalm 119, 9 through 11? You know, I don't know who did the TMS, but don't skip over 10. How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. With my whole heart have I sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. Your word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you. I started out memorizing the King James Version because that was the only one there was when I started on a topical memory system back in the Dark Ages. There was another translation that came out, the Revised Standard Version. And, you know, I think Lauren Sandy memorized that one just, you know, because it was different, a little more modern. But anyway, the next one to come along was the New American Standard Version. So I began memorizing that one. And then the New International Version came out, and I liked that better for just how it relates to people. And so I started reading that one. So now I've got all three to kind of run together, and I've got this little thing down here on why the emphasis was saying it worked perfectly. And that's a perfect example because it never gets any better. You know, how you memorize it in the first place, it only deteriorates from there. You know, you got to make sure you get it right the first place because that's your best shot at having it right. It's going to get, you know, messed up in your mind. You just work at it to get it right in the first place so that it doesn't deteriorate so fast. Psalm 119, 9 through 11. How can a young man keep his way pure, or woman, by keeping it according to your word. But why do you need 10 in there? If you don't have 10 in there, write it in. You know, put that one in. Why do you need it? If I am just saying, how can a young man not, you know, sin against God? I'll just memorize verses. That's saying, I've got the power, if I've got verses, to handle sin. How do we handle sin? With the help of God. With my whole heart have I sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. You know, any time that we feel like we can handle the Christian life by our strength, our discipline, our power, we're headed right down the same road of the Pharisees, who thought that they could be righteous with God by their law keeping. And there's another little subtle thing that happens when we go down that path. We look at everybody who doesn't measure up to our standards and we look down on them. We say, I've got it better. You know, we're better. I can handle it better. And we have got to walk through the Christian life with grace. If we don't learn to walk through the Christian life with grace, God has lots of ways to send things along to humble us and let us realize that we have no power to do this. We have lots of tools. We have lots of things that will help us live the Christian life. But we've got to do it with the power of God and with grace. Does that make sense? Are you with me on that? You know, you can stop me anytime and ask questions. If I'm, you know, throwing a curve at you, or you want to think about it differently. One of my favorite verses on memorizing Scripture is Proverbs 6, 20 to 23. We're still doing the drill, you know. First person to it, pop up and...
My son, keep your father's command, do not forsake your mother's teaching. Bind them on your heart, around your neck. When you talk, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. When you wake, they will speak to you. For these commands are a man to keep you, and a weapon. Keeping you from the immoral woman, from the time of the world of wife, do not lust in your heart after her beauty, or let her catch and make her do it with her eyes.
Okay, good. It goes on, but in verses 20 to 23, Solomon gives four reasons, four values, four things that happen out of hiding the Word of God in your heart. What are they? Well, that's what you need to do, is bind them in my heart forever. There's four things that that'll do for you. Okay, when you're walking about through life, they'll guide you. Good. When you sleep, they'll watch over you. When people are having problems with dreams, I recommend that they memorize Scripture. And then Dawson Trotman used to say, and I've tried practicing this a little more recently, he had this little thing, his word, last word. You know, HWLW. The thing that you go to sleep meditating on is generally what you're going to be thinking about when you wake up in the morning. Have you noticed that? And very often, I was trying to think of a name the other day with Janet about 10:30 at night, and I woke up in the morning and there it was. You know, your subconscious mind never stops. So, but it works on what you put in it. And so it says when you sleep, it'll watch over you, and then what? When you wake up, it'll talk to you. If you go to sleep meditating on the Word, you'll find that very often in the morning, you're still thinking about that. That's why Dawson Trotman did that. And as I said, I've been trying to practice that more recently, and it does. And then one more, right at the end. Well, it's a lamp for your feet, but the reproofs of discipline are the way to life. If you read those early chapters of Proverbs, they're all written, my son. And he says in chapter 1, if you don't listen to wisdom, it'll kill you. So he's, and there's all sorts of ways, not just total death, but all sorts of ways that you can lose out on major things in life. There's a lot of little deaths before the big death if you sin. There's deaths to relationships, deaths to opportunities, deaths to, you know, certain jobs. I have some dear friends whose son, who was on my soccer team, and I know, they called me up a couple of weeks ago and said, we've got bad news. Our son was arrested at San Diego State for dealing drugs. And as they're talking with the lawyer, he said, well, I think we can reduce this thing, but there will be a felony conviction that will be part of your record for the rest of your life. He is 19 years old. And they'll have a felony conviction, which means he can't vote. There's certain jobs. He's got to write it on every job application from now on. There are little deaths that affect you the rest of your life when you decide that I am not going to follow what God says. And he knew it. He grew up, you know. He just said, I'm off at college and, you know, I'm going to live life differently. And he is living life differently. He was kicked out of school a week before the semester ended. No benefit of that semester in school. And all of those things because he decided that I'm going to live life differently. And, you know, sow my wild oats. And the rest of his life has changed because of that. Does that make sense? You know, that's what Proverbs is saying. The reproofs of discipline are the way to life. Now back to what, you know, Jesus applied the scripture to Satan, but he did also to himself. One of the things that I've done is when I'm dealing with temptation, just like Psalm 119 says, I look for a verse that says, what is God's perspective on this? What's God's command? What are the promises of God that deal with this area of my temptation? And then I memorize them. And then they're available there for the Holy Spirit to use to remind me of this is what God says and to remind me that's what I really want to do. You know, when I'm being tempted by Satan, just like Jesus was, and he says, you know, do this, it's easier, it's more fun, it's more interesting, it's, you know, rebelling against your parents, it's whatever. Those verses say, this is what God wants. And what God wants is good and pleasing and perfect. Isn't that what Romans 12:2 says? Anybody got Romans 12:2? Yeah. You'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. So that's one of the things that I memorize for. What are some other reasons for memorizing Scripture? I mean, to keep us out of sin, yes. Okay. Okay? Yeah. There's power in the Word of God in dealing with both temptation but also challenges. Okay? What other reasons? What's that? To get to know God. Super. my meditation over Scripture in the morning is so enriched by the verses. I just preached last Sunday at the church where I used to attend, and one of the pastors said, "Today I'm going to listen, and I'm going to come up with a verse that adds to, you know." I felt like maybe he was a little resentful, but so often he would preach, and I would think of a verse that just added to or captured, you know. And I shared them with him, and most of the time he was encouraged by it, but I think he was a little put away from it with the fact that I almost always had a verse about that from some other place in Scripture that just kind of related to it. Because it so enriches your time in the Scripture. Okay, good. What else? Yeah. Excellent. Excellent. Philip, when he was on the road, by Gaza and encountered the Ethiopian eunuch, he listened to the eunuch, reading the Scripture. And then, shared Christ with him. But he knew the Scripture and led that Ethiopian eunuch to Christ. I've already talked about why the emphasis on saying it perfectly. Because, like I said, it doesn't get any better. It only degenerates. Yep. There's another reason. If we're sloppy about our Scripture memory, it gets harder and harder to recall. Almost everybody I encounter in the Christian life that aren't navigators will say, "It says in the Bible somewhere," or maybe they'll say in Mark, and that's good, but it is so much more powerful when you know where it says it. Most of the time, I don't quote it. I have people look it up. Why? Okay, it shows for themselves. Why else? Okay, you're not just making it up. They can own it themselves. It's partly because reading, you retain more than what you hear. Anybody do the hand as part of this? That what you hear, you remember only about 5%. What you read, it gets closer to 10%. What you study is, getting up to about 30%. And then what you memorize and review, 100%, yes. You're increasing their thinking about it, their ability to retain it. Think of a verse that you know pretty well. I want everybody to do this. Just think of a verse that you know pretty well. You got it? Okay? Now, I want you to review it in your mind. Say the reference, say the verse, and then when you've said it in your mind, raise your hand. Okay? I'm going to say, ready, and then I'll say start, you review it. Okay? Ready, start. Okay, the first one was 3 seconds. Most of you, it was between 15 and 20. Do you know how long it takes to review a verse that you don't remember very well? 2, 3, 5 minutes? Stumbling over it? Memorizing a verse well, getting it word perfect, getting it down, is a very great time saver. Because you can review it and you've got it that quick. It's so much more useful than one that you don't know well. It's just a decision and a commitment to put the work in at the beginning. Scripture memory is always hard work. It just is. Lauren Sanney was on Billy Graham's team for a while, and the Navigators put together a little thing called Beginning with Christ for the Billy Graham Crusades. And they did that back in the 50s, that little packet. And so Lauren Sanney gave one to Billy Graham and said, this is what we put together to help people follow up. And Billy said, I think I can memorize that in a few days. And a month later, he still didn't have it. And he said, oh, there's some spiritual battle going on here. You know, I've got to fight for this. And that's the way it is with Scripture memory. Scripture memory, Charles Swindoll, some of you have heard him on the radio. He was a young Marine in Okinawa and discipled by a Navigator. And one of the things that Chuck Swindoll said, the most important thing he learned from the Navigators was to memorize Scripture. And that has marked his life. But you have to determine that memorizing Scripture is part of a spiritual battle. And I need, you know, what is Psalm 119 verse 10 say we need? What? With whole hearts and what? With my whole heart, I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandment. We need God's help. You know, we think that I'm a Marine. I'm a, you know, in college. I can do this. We need help from God. It's a spiritual battle to memorize Scripture. I also like Isaiah 50 verse 4. This is a great quiet time verse. Isaiah 50 verse 4. And I think I like it in the New American Standard if anybody's got one of those. Okay?
The Lord God has given me the tongue of desire so that we know how to sustain the very wonderful word. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to listen and disciple.
Yeah. That is just, that just says it, doesn't it? Wow. You know, that's one you ought to get and meditate on and ask God morning by morning as you spend time with Him to do that in your life. I was talking with Dave Townsend a couple of days ago. You know, one of the trouble of sharing a room with an old buddy is you don't sleep very much. Dave Ewells came in late last night and, you know, yeah, you just don't sleep very much. But what Dave was saying is that when time is mentioned about, you know, the time of day is mentioned, when talking about time with God, 80% of the time, it says morning. You know, there's other times to spend time with God. But if you just go through and look, 80% of the time when it talks about spending time with God, it mentions the morning. And read that one again if you wouldn't mind, or give it to us. Yeah.
It says, the Lord God has given you the tongue of disciples so that we know how to sustain the word. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to listen as a disciple.
As a disciple, as the NIV says, as one being taught. As I spend time in the word in the morning, I'm there to be taught by God for what purpose? I mean, yes, to fill me, to sustain me, but what else? Huh?
To teach others.
Yeah, to sustain a weary one with a word from God. I get a word from God, and I get a chance to share it with other people. Are you doing that as you're walking through this training program? Are you getting that in a habit so that as you go back to where you live, you're getting a word from God that can sustain others, a weary one with a word? I know that isn't exactly, you know, scripture memory, but that's one that, like Don, I've memorized. How to keep it? how to make sure you keep the Word of God. I mean, really, Scripture memory is about retaining Scripture, not just memorizing Scripture, but retaining it. There are a lot of different ways to memorize. I forgot. I was going to work on that a little bit, how to memorize. I had one of the guys that wrote songs to memorize verses. I knew another guy that would read it 70 times and to memorize Scripture. It really, a lot depends on your learning style. You know, some people are very visual. And so think of a picture that you can kind of work through and to remember the verse. I think we've about got... While they're trying to find that, where I grew up in Idaho, we used to have a lot of trains. You know, these big, long, you know, locomotives. And as a kid, I used to count the cars. You know, and I would... There would be often over 100 boxcars on those trains. And when I was 17, I had a job loading fruit and potatoes and stuff like that. I grew up in Idaho, into these boxcars, and we would put 10 or 15 tons of stuff into that boxcar that was already heavy. You know, those things are really... We had a little tractor that we used to move boxcars around, and we could only move two boxcars with it. That's all it would move. And our little siding held about 12 boxcars. So I found that if I could get those boxcars rolling, then I could, you know, two at a time, they would just kind of roll down the track. And then I could add to it, and I could move that whole group of 12 boxcars around with that little tractor that only could move two. And I thought that really that gave me a picture of how to memorize a verse that's worked best for me. Okay, so... Is anybody working on a verse for the bridge illustration? Pick me a verse that you want to memorize.
Romans 3:23.
Oh, let's get one harder than that. No, one of the TMS verses, that BPAC, who's got their BPAC?
3:18.
What's that?
1 Peter 3:18.
Well, okay, that's a good one. Okay, so we want the reference. Okay, and then what's the title? Christ paid the penalty. Okay, so when we're trying to think of a verse, most of the time we're thinking of a topic. That's why the topical memory system is so successful. You know, we're not trying to say, you know, what did Jesus say in Mark about? We want something on prayer. We want something on, again, Christ paid the penalty. Okay, so we have 1 Peter 3:18, Christ paid the penalty. So we want to remember that topic, so we put that in. And I'm not very good at that penalty, sorry. Okay, and then what I want to do is divide that verse into what I would call my boxcars, the natural phrases. Okay, so you've got it there. What's our first phrase?
For Christ also suffered once for sins.
Okay. You want to be able to have a phrase that you can just do easy. So, for Christ suffered
once for sins.
Okay? And so I say that over in my mind, for Christ suffered once for sins. Right? I got it? For Christ suffered once for sins. Okay, and then I want to get that rolling. And what I want to use as the coupler to kind of help me connect to the next one is the reference, 1 Peter 3:18. So I put that in there. For Christ suffered once for sins, 1 Peter 3:18. And I say that in my mind until I can say that. Without, you know, I got it rolling. Okay, then I add the next phrase. So I got my first one. For Christ suffered, okay. The just for the unjust. Okay, so I add that on. So the just for the unjust. The just for the unjust. Okay, for Christ suffered once for sins. The just for the unjust. And then I roll in my coupler, 1 Peter 3:18. Because always the first thing you lose when you're trying to, you know, remember verse is the reference. And if you got the reference, you got the verse. You know, you look it up. So 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, 1 Peter 3:18. Okay, and then I want to make sure I keep my title in there as at the start. 1 Peter 3:18, Christ paid the penalty. For Christ suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust. Okay, what's our next phrase?
That he might bring us to God.
That he might bring us to God. So that's my next chunk, my next boxcar. So now I add that in. For Christ suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Okay, and then I put what?
Reference,
1 Peter 3:18. So I have 1 Peter 3:18, Christ paid the penalty. For Christ suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, to bring us to God. 1 Peter 3:18. Okay, we're on our way, aren't we? Okay, you got that in your head already? It really takes less than 10 minutes to get a verse so you can say it like that. Okay, let's finish it. Okay, being put to death in the flesh. So we've got 1 Peter 3:18, Christ paid the penalty. For Christ suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh. 1 Peter 3:18. We've got our next boxcar in there. We're connecting it, and it's rolling. Say that phrase until you get that one started and add it in. Okay? Okay, so then what's our...
But made alive by the Spirit.
That's our last one. So we have 1 Peter 3:18. Christ paid the penalty, for Christ suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, and that bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, made alive in the Spirit. 1 Peter 3:18. We got it, right? That method has worked well for me. You have to remember the next thing about Scripture memory, and that is, you have to relearn it three times. The process of memory is you learn it, forget it, learn it, forget it, learn it, and you've got it. Right? And so you say, I thought I knew that verse. I had it down. Now, it isn't as hard the second time, but you have to relearn it twice. And then it begins to roll. And then you've got to review it. You have to keep them reviewed. There's a fellow named Ron Hood who had his method was, and again, it really works. I've got a friend in the Philippines. He's got, you know, Romans and Philippians, and he's got three quarters of the New Testament memorized using this method. But you memorize a verse on that method, and then the first day you review it 30 times, and then 25, and then 20. Every day, reduce it. 20, 15, 10, 5, once a week for 7 weeks, and then once a month after that. He just had a system. You got to make a system out of it. You have to want to do it. And as I said, my friend of the Philippines, Ike Enriquez, if you call him up and ask him to remember to review a book for you, he can do it. I'm not as disciplined as Ike, I have to admit. Ike feels like he doesn't read well, so he memorizes instead. So he memorizes so he can meditate. Okay, and so then you got it always with you. So, anyway, we got to be done pretty quick. What's the time?
You have 2 minutes.
I have 2 minutes. Okay. So, anyways, memorize, review, work to keep it. How was my last... Do the hard work of Scripture memory. It takes commitment that I want this in my life. I want to be a person who knows the Word. But always, you know, do it with grace. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly.